Now, long after dinner, Uncle Henry sits alone in the library, deeply lost in thought. On the desk before him is a small calibered revolver. His fingers toy with the weapon. And as the door opens, he slips the gun into his desk drawer. Janet closes the door and steps into the room.
Uncle Henry?
Huh? Oh, come in, Janet.
I wanted to talk with you alone.
Talk with me? Very well.
What is your opinion of Grant?
Why, I like him. Fine boy.
Do you suppose it would do any good if you talked to Aunt Agatha?
I? You know as well as I do how she feels about me. And in her eyes, Grant is an exact counterpart of me. She thinks it's the same situation over again. And she's determined that you won't have to put up with a failure as she did with me.
But how does she know he'll be a failure?
I'm her yardstick for all men without means.
What happened today to cause the heart attack?
Her violent temper.
But there must have been a reason.
Yes, Janet, there was. I had a deal on, and I needed $2,000. She flew into a rage and had the attack after I left the house.
What on earth are we going to do about her?
I don't know, Janet. As for me, well, I've come to the end of my rope. I've tried my best for 20 years to please her. Now, well, I just can't go on any longer. I'm through.
What do you mean?
Just that. There's nothing left for me now. I'm too old to try anything new. Too old to go back to my painting, and Agatha is becoming more resentful every day. I'm licked.
Uncle Henry, are you trying to tell me that you're planning something?
Planning something, my dear? What do you mean?
You mustn't, Uncle Henry. Regardless of how you feel, there's still much to live for.
Is there?
You've always been so kind and good to me. I just couldn't stand it if you were...
No, please, darling. I'm much older than you. I just see things differently, that's all. And it's been terrible lonely in this house since you've been gone. Now it'll become lonelier and lonelier. Filled with hatred and greed and resentment and... I couldn't stand
it. Promise me. Promise me you won't do anything foolish.
Janet, whatever I do will be for the best. Please believe me. Everything will come out for the best.
Around 12 o'clock that night, Janet, Grant, and Henry go to their rooms, and the big house settles down to sleep. Then, 2 hours after midnight, Agatha stirs uneasily in her bed. An eerie figure in white stands beside her. She opens her eyes.
What? Who's there?
I want you, Agatha Barrington.
No!
Aunt Agatha! Good heavens. Brian, Uncle Henry, hurry!
What's happened? I heard a scream.
Janet, what was it?
There's the medicine. Give her a dose.
I'll rub her wrists. Oh, she's as cold as ice.
What on earth could have happened? A nightmare?
She's had quite a shock.
Oh, her pulse is fairly strong.
She's coming too. Oh. What happened? Well, you screamed. You had fainted when we got here.
Yes. There was someone in this room. I saw it.
Saw what?
I don't know what it was. It was a figure in white.
Auntie, you must have had a nightmare.
Maybe so. It could have been a nightmare, but it seemed so real.
Look. The window to the balcony is open. Did you open it, Aunt Agatha?
No, I never keep it open.
Look outside, Grant.
You mean it might have been a burglar? My diamonds.
It could have been a burglar. And your scream frightened him away.
Look in the box in the drawer.
I did. They're all here. Not a sign of anyone outside.
Do you feel better now?
What's happened, ma'am? Anything wrong?
No, Higgins, nothing's wrong. Go back to bed, all of you. I'll be all right. And lock that balcony window.
Now it is the next night. Uncle Henry is sitting alone at the desk in the library, lost again in a deep study. Grant and Janet are in the living room.
You really think it might have been a prowler last night, Grant?
Well, I don't know. The window was open. It could have been.
I'm inclined to think it was nothing more than a nightmare. She's been so upset lately.
Well, if it was a burglary, he didn't get anything.
Well, that's true. And he might try it again.
If he does, he's liable to get a good scare.
What do you mean?
This.
Grant, Where did you get that revolver?
Out of my trunk.
Oh, please, Grant, I don't like guns. Let them take what they want. If you start shooting, they're liable to shoot back. Besides, Jules can be replaced.
Now, don't worry, darling. I couldn't shoot anyone if I tried. Anyway, there are no bullets in it.
Then what good is it?
Well, it's a little .32 I use in school for a starting gun. It has nothing but blanks in it. You see? It won't hurt anyone, but it'll give them a good scare.
Well, blanks or no blanks, I don't like guns around.
Now, don't worry, darling.
Oh, good heavens, it's 7:30. I'd better get dressed or we'll be late for the Morrison party.
Oh, yeah, you better hurry. I'm all ready. I want to see about the car. Oh, Higgins.
Yes, sir. Come in, sir. I was just having a little coffee and a bite to eat. Would you care for anything, sir?
No, no, thanks. Did Rollins check my tires and gas?
I did, sir. Rollins and the others are all off tonight. I put your car in front.
Oh, thanks.
Excuse me, sir. Farrington residence? Yes? Oh, yes, Mr. Hammond. He's dozing in the library. I'll get him. What? Oh, I see. Yes. Yes, I'll tell him. Goodbye. Joe Hammond wants Mr. Farrington to come over to his place this evening. I'll tell him. Excuse me, sir. Anything else I can do for you?
Oh, no. I'll be running along in a few minutes. By the way, since Mr. Farrington's going out, you'd better look in on Mrs. Farrington once in a while.
Oh, I will, sir.
So Grant and Janet drive to the Morrison's estate to attend the charity lawn party. And Henry goes to talk things over with Joe Hammond, the ex-lawyer who holds Henry's bad check. Then toward midnight, the lawn party breaks up and Grant and Janet return home.
Well, that was a wonderful party, Grant. I never saw so many people. Friends I haven't seen for 4 years. I was thrilled to death.
Yes, it was quite an affair. I wonder how much they raised. Good many thousands, I imagine. And did that red-headed gal sell war bonds?
I'll run up and see how Aunt Agatha is. I'll be right down.
Right. I think I'll have a nightcap. Want one?
No, thanks.
Hello, Grant.
Oh, hello.
Party over already?
Yeah, big affair. Had a great time.
I got to talking business with Joe Hammond, and first thing I knew, it was almost midnight.
Grant, call Dr. Johnson.
What? Janet, what is it?
Aunt Agatha. Come quickly, Uncle Henry. Call Dr. Johnson, Grant. You can't get him. Call the emergency hospital. Get a police ambulance.
I'm still trying to get Dr. Johnson, Janet.
Never mind, Grant. Police surgeon says we won't need Dr. Johnson.
Did he pull her out of the attack?
No. He couldn't do a thing for her. She was dead when they got here.
Good heavens. Well, she must have had a severe attack.
Well, you see, Grant, I...
Just a minute, folks. I'd like to ask a few questions, and I'd prefer that you didn't carry on any conversation with each other.
No conversation? What do you mean, Janet?
Never mind. I'll get around to that. Take all their fingerprints, Davis, while I'm talking.
Yeah, Captain.
I demand an explanation. What do you mean, fingerprints?
How long have you known Janet Farrington?
Oh, about 6 weeks.
Where did you meet her?
At a dance, a party.
Did you know all about her? Who she was, her family?
Certainly.
What do you know about him?
Well, I just knew I loved him, and that was enough.
I take it your financial condition is not so good, Grant.
Well, no, I haven't any money, but what's that to do with it?
Did Agatha Farrington object to your marriage?
Yes, she did. She threatened to change her will unless we had the marriage annulled, but...
Did you care whether that happened, Grant?
Well, certainly. I didn't want Janet to lose her inheritance. What are you getting at?
Grant had nothing to do with it, I tell you. I know what you're inferring, and it's ridiculous. Grant didn't marry me for my money.
What's this about prowlers around the house?
Well, we aren't sure there were prowlers. Agatha claimed someone was in her room last night. The window was wide open, but we aren't sure about it.
It was a nightmare.
Well, she did keep some jewelry in her room, and from the looks of the room, someone certainly went through it thoroughly.
Who knew about where she kept the jewelry?
Why, all three of us knew. And Higgins, the butler, knew about it.
Where's Higgins?
Why, I never thought of that. Probably in his room. I'll look. Higgins! Higgins! He's unconscious!
Yeah. He's been blackjacked.
Higgins. Higgins!
Farrington, what's wrong?
Who slugged you?
Slugged me? Why, I've been asleep.
That's what you think. Feel the bump on your head.
Good heavens.
Did you hear any shots tonight?
Shots? No. I was in my room. I must have dozed off in the chair.
Then it must have been a burglar.
What goes on here? Anyone would think you were trying to cook up a murder.
No, Grant. The murder's already been done.
What?
Yes. Mrs. Farrington was shot in the chest. Twice.
Shot? But
But that's not possible. Shot?
Here you are, Captain. We found this gun in the young fellow's room. It's been fired twice.
Oh, this is silly. That's a starting gun. Nothing but blanks in it.
Who fired it?
What? I haven't the slightest idea.
All right, Davis. Take the gun and the bullets from Mrs. Farrington's body and have ballistics check on them. Well, young fellow, according to the ballistics test, the bullets that killed her were fired from your gun.
But it isn't possible, I tell you. My gun had nothing but blanks.
And there were no fingerprints but yours. I'm afraid you're stuck with this deal.
No, please listen.
I couldn't have done it.
You had a motive, a gun, and an opportunity. And furthermore, you left that party for a half hour tonight. We checked on it. We have a witness who saw you leave.
All right, what if I did? My gun has blanks in it. Oh, please believe me. I couldn't bring myself to do such a thing. I couldn't.
You killed Mrs. Farrington, and you might as well admit it.
I didn't. I didn't shoot her. I swear I never touched her.
I can't stand by and see an innocent person suffer for this. The boy didn't do it. I did it. I had a better reason. I planned it. I'd have enough of Agatha, and I was caught in a jam. I did it to get the insurance she left me. I was desperate. I came back and slugged Higgins while he was asleep, shot Agatha, and left the house.
I don't believe you. You're trying to cover up for him. But it won't hold water. We've got him dead to rights.
But I couldn't have killed her. I only wanted to scare her.
What? Go ahead.
Oh, nothing.
Then you did come back here. Spill it.
Well, all right, I did come back.
Grant, what are you saying?
I had the gun, but there were nothing but blanks in it. I doped Higgins' coffee before I left the house. I came back and went to her room. I fired the blank.
Why?
Well, I knew she had a weak heart. I figured the shock would bring on her death. I was the figure in her bedroom. I couldn't see Janet lose her fortune, but I didn't want to give her up.
Grant, how could you? I can't believe it.
I tell you, I came back and shot her. If he fired blanks, then I must have fired the bullets that actually killed her.
Look at his gun. Real bullets in it.
What? Why, they are bullets.
Where's your gun, Farrington?
Here.
Open it.
Great Scott. Why, they're blanks.
That settles it. Come on, young fella. We've had enough talk about this. The evidence is all against you.
Yes, Grant. The evidence is all against you. And nothing can save you now. Try as he might, Henry can never convince anyone that he planned to kill Agatha. Although it is true he did come back and fire at her, just as you did, Grant. But it was definitely you and your gun that fired the fatal bullets. Of course, I know what you're wondering. How did the real bullets get in your revolver? You know, don't you, Janet? Tell us what happened.
I saw Uncle Henry put a revolver in his desk as I stepped into the library that night. I was afraid he was going to kill himself. When Grant showed me his gun with the blanks, I switched the shells in their guns to keep Uncle from committing suicide. You see, I never dreamed that Grant had a plan afoot. Caused my aunt's death by mental murder.
There you are. Another tale of greed and revenge and hatred, all unraveled as neatly as you please.
CBS has presented The Whistler. Original music for this production was composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. The Whistler is written and directed by J. Donald Wilson and comes to you from Columbia Square in Hollywood. Next Sunday, same time,
I, The Whistler, will return to tell you another unusual tale. Good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.